This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Devon Insights, Children and Young People Counselling Service, launched in their centenary year, 2025, to support children and young people in their community. The project won the Customer Excellence Award, sponsored by Guide Dogs at the Visionary 2025 Awards, and we're joined today by Chief Executive of Devon Insight, Graham Flynn, and Sight Loss Advisor, Louise Millington, who collected the award, to learn more. Hi Graham and Louise, thanks so much for joining us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So can you give us some background into Devon Insight and the area that you cover?
Yeah, well, Devon Insight is our trading name. So in common with a lot of sight loss charities around the country, we're actually the Devon County Association for the Blind. We were formed in 1925, so just after World War One. This year is our centenary, 100 years.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and you've celebrated this by creating this award-winning service. Can you tell us why it felt important to build a service specifically for children and young people?
Well, we have four core services that we offer. So the first is information, advice and guidance. Second is our independent living service. Third, health and wellbeing service. And the fourth is sort of influencing change, so campaigns. Our health and wellbeing service came out of COVID, really. Everybody was isolating, and out of that came the recognizing the need that some of our clients needed a more in-depth emotional support to cope with their sight loss. So that started as an adult service. One of the adults that we supported, she completed her counseling and then went into one of our employment services that we do with the Thomas Pocklington Trust. And in discussions with her, she sort of said that she felt that her daughter needed some support to deal with her sight loss. And I think that was the sort of catalyst. It had always been something that we really wanted to do. But that experience was a bit of a catalyst to us saying, actually, we didn't have the funding for it. We just thought, actually, it's the right thing to do. So one of our counsellors has an expertise in children and young people. So we just spoke to her about it, and that was the catalyst to starting the service.
What are some of the specific challenges that young blind and partially sighted people are facing, or the specific counselling techniques that are really useful for young people?
Everybody wants to feel heard and supported. So what we're trying to do is help, whether it be an adult or a young person, is to get the opportunity to express themselves. With young people, that might be expressing things with their parents, caregivers, teachers, tutors, or their peers. So that's what the aim of the counselling is, I suppose. How it's done is a range of techniques. Now, I know from some of the case studies that we're currently using now to look for funding, you're looking at creative play, emotional exploration, insight and reflection. And the therapy helps children and young people recognize, name and express their emotions in a healthy way. I think anybody who's been through counseling will say it's having that opportunity to be heard and not be fearful about mum or dad sitting next to you.
Absolutely, to be able to explore their feelings without being judged or without making parents worried is really valuable.
One of the things that I observe in the office here is that when we first interact with somebody, they'll be very quiet. The young person will arrive for their first appointment, and in that first appointment, the parent or guardian or carer is actually in the appointment with the counsellor, and they talk about how the system is going to work. But quite soon, the young person is talking to the counsellor on a one-to-one, and that might be the first time that they've really discussed their issues. And again, what we observe, and I know you're the same, Lou, mm-hmm. is we observe how somebody's confidence will build yeah. over the weeks that they are coming into the office.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful transition to watch.
Alongside that kind of boost in confidence, some of the other impacts that you've seen this counselling service have?
Let's talk about the number of sessions first, because with adults, we initially offer 6 free sessions. So nobody's expected to pay for this. We fund it. Those 6 sessions for an adult will in most cases suffice, but occasionally it's extended, particularly if you've opened the Pandora's box to other areas or there's more support needed. What we're learning with this project at the moment is that some young people actually need many more sessions. We were only talking yesterday to one of our counsellors, And what she was saying was that you might agree that, okay, we're coming to the end of 8 sessions, 10 sessions. We need to be able to st start getting the person to stand on their own 2 feet. The person still doesn't want to feel abandoned. And we've got some clients who've had very complex lives, and they will talk about being let down by education, let down by health, let down by social services, let down by people all their lives. And what we don't want to do is get to the end of that period of counselling and the person to suddenly feel dropped. So one of the discussions we're having at the moment is about how we start to see a period of independence, but also have the possibility that there is a follow-up session.
Yeah, to build in some kind of package where there's some follow-up work done, check-ins, that sort of thing.
Another really important thing to do is to see that a counselling service fits within a portfolio of all of your charity's services. So, with our adult service, we will get people referred into us who are going through a real period of crisis. So, some of it's quite dramatic. So, you might have a very quick, sudden sight loss due to a traumatic accident or something. And we will support that person. They'll come to the end of the counselling. And again, that person, if you haven't trained up your counsellors to be aware of all the other support services that you do, like equipment, for example, or referring into the sensory teams, then that person ends up back in the same place, which is, oh, I don't know what to do now. So what we're trying to do is to segue people out of counselling, because they weren't ready for it when they first joined us. You segue them into a support package, which starts to make sure that they're completing their medical treatment or operations and things like that, or they're engaging with sensory team, or looking at equipment, or engaging with some of our peer support things. So I think once people have had that one-to-one experience, the real great thing is then that people feel that they want to engage in a group setting. So we've got some telephone support services we do. We've got a chit-chat call that's a couple of times a month where anybody can dial in. And that peer support is really useful for sharing lived experience of sight loss. And then we've got a monthly speaker event as well, where people can call in and the guest speaker, say, for example, sensory team or somebody from the eye unit, low vision service, will talk about their area of work. And there's a Q&A at the end. And again, if somebody's been through counselling, they will hopefully have the confidence to start engaging with that service. I must also just highlight the work we do with Thomas Pocklington Trust with Works for Me. And that's an employment and volunteering service where that you take the person who's looking to change careers, volunteering, that sort of thing, and we help support them with new CVs, interview technique, and things like that. So again, what we've had is one of the people who went through our adult counselling service is now actively volunteering for another charity, and then we've got the family members who have come through the counselling as well. So you're talking about a very holistic model of support.
And how do people start to use the service? Where do you get referrals from?
Well, our referrals largely come from other professionals within the health and social care sector. So we're looking at guide dogs, RNIB, eye clinic liaison officers, social prescribers, and probably the main source of referrals is rehabilitation officers from the sensory team.
And your work was recognised by your peers when you won the Customer Excellence Award, sponsored by Guide Dogs at the Visionary 2025 Awards. How did it feel to be announced as the winners?
We suddenly got the email saying that the deadline for applications was closing. And we realised we were literally putting the application in on the last day. And it got to, I think it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we suddenly realised we hadn't put in our bid. So we had a very concentrated 2 hours to meet the deadline. And it really focused our mind to think about the sort of hard-hitting things that we'd done and the evidence. And it was really quite, oh, should we bother? Should you bother? We've had a Visionary Award before. We've had a few, actually. But what it does is winning an award like this means that you are highlighting really good work. And the great thing about Visionary is there is no competition between organizations. We're sharing best practice. We're prepared to sit down and talk to other members and say, look, this is what we've done. And that period of reflection and changing things makes the service better. As far as getting the awards, for Louise, Louise and Mandy Darling. So Mandy Darling is a guide dog user, new member of my team. Louise and Mandy hadn't been to a visionary
No.
conference before, so I invited you to go along. So what did you think?
What did I think of collecting the award was amazing. Just to get that recognition from, as you say, from our peers. My background is coming from education, supporting visually impaired students at school and college, and the realization of how much was needed to support those young people as they transition into college or into the world of work. And then to join a team that were looking into that process and came up with the counselling. Yeah, to be involved with that and then to get the award to recognise it, it was just huge part of my career. Yeah, just really exciting. Yeah, we would really like to thank Visionary and Guide Dogs for their sponsorship and presentation of our award. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And after that excitement and great recognition, what are some of your next steps for the project, or how are you hoping things continue in the future?
Well, do you know what? We have to come crashing back down to earth now. So you've got the euphoria of winning an award, which is, of course, is a pilot. So we started the adult pilot 3 years ago, so just as we were coming out of COVID. And we called that a pilot, but it's now a pilot that's been running for 3 years. We're now added the young people's part of it. For me, the big challenge is always money. So you've got to try and fund it. So that's the first thing that we're looking at. The next thing is the bigger picture of transitions. We can't provide all of the services. And I think that's a thing for all charity leaders of small organizations like us, is that realization that you can't do it all. So partnerships are really important. So that's why I'm really keen to highlight the work we've done with Thomas Pocklington Trust, because we're sort of dovetailed into their employment side of stuff. We also work with a local charity called More Vision. Some of you may have heard of Laura Hughes. Laura Hughes set up this children's service, and what we tend to do is, when it comes to the social side of supporting young people, we refer into More Vision. And again, that you've got a degree of expertise, because one of the issues for us is that, like most sight loss charities, the majority of our clients have acquired sight loss with older age. So I probably say 68, 70% of our clients have got age-related macular degeneration. What we're seeing is a younger generation of people seeking support and transitioning. So that transitioning out of children's and young people's services, and people wanting to volunteer, wanting to work. And that's where we're trying to develop services, but at the same time as still providing our core service offer.
And finally, where can people get in touch if they want to learn more about this service and the other services you offer?
Our website address is www.devoninsight.org.uk.
Well, thank you so much, Graham Flynn and Louise Millington from Devon Insight, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.